I have got a lovely topic tonight. A topic that is challenging, a topic that has really, really, really made me question my faith, made me question my beliefs. And we start off with that scripture that says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. And I thought that doing the sermon series, I would actually be incredibly encouraged to just go out and witness to the world and make disciples. And I really thought I'd be knocking on the doors of everyone trying to preach the gospel. But God has done something different in me. He's made me look at myself and question whether I am following Christ, no matter what the cost. And I'm going to start tonight by asking you a question, a hard question, which is, do you believe this book? And I bet you everyone straight away will say, of course I do. Yeah, I believe the Bible. But do you really, really believe it to the point that you live your life based on this book? And my second question is, do you believe that this Bible is relevant today in this modern world? An ancient book that was written a very long time ago, inspired by God, do we believe that it is relevant today? And I want you to think about that as we start delving into the Word of God tonight. So one thing I found is that we live in a day where we think that in order to be relevant to our culture, we must be like our culture. We live in a day where we think that in order for the gospel to be relevant, we must somehow adapt it to our culture. What we have forgotten is that the Bible is relevant not because it is like our culture, but because it is completely different. And we forget that the gospel has power today. It can be incredibly offensive sometimes when people read it. Sometimes it doesn't fit in what people's mindsets have about what the Bible should be. And so many people dismiss it. And so the story we're looking at tonight is following on from Dan's message last week. And I'll just quickly give a recap. He told the story of Peter and John going into the temple at the hour of prayer. And they see a lame man at the gate who had been begging his whole life there. And they look at him and they get his attention. And he thinks, oh, they're going to give me some money. But Peter says to him, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I will give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. And it says Peter grabbed him by the hand, pulled him up, and the man got strength in his feet. And he started jumping and leaping and praising God. And he followed Peter and John into the temple. And they saw this as a great opportunity to witness. And so they stood on the temple stairs, and they started preaching to the crowd, because the crowd had gathered because of the miracle that had happened. And I want to pick up the story from Acts 4, verse 1. If you do have your Bibles, I encourage you to open them tonight or follow with me on the screen. Okay. It says, now as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. And when they saw the boldness of Peter, verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do with these men? For indeed, that notable miracle has been done through them and is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak no more in this name. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. Verse 19. But Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking what we have seen. I've read some of these scriptures. The first question that came to mind was, why were people so upset? Why were the people of the day so offended? They really seemed to get annoyed with the disciples. I mean, clearly they were doing something good. You know, they were healing people. I bet you there was a great sort of vibe in Jerusalem at the time because people were coming to Christ. They were bringing a new doctrine. It seemed quite good, but people seemed to be quite annoyed and upset by it. And I'll tell you why. The reason is because Peter and John were shaking up the culture, the traditions, and the beliefs set out at that time. And you're like, how? How are they doing that? Well, firstly, they were uneducated men. They should not have been standing up preaching the gospel, preaching a doctrine, because in those days, it was the rabbis who brought the doctrine, not these uneducated commoners who decided to get up there and preach a new message. Secondly, they were challenging people in their sin. They were saying, you need Jesus. This Jesus whom you crucified, you need him to get to heaven. And they did not like this. It did not fit in with the culture of the day. They were shaking the traditions of the Jewish people. The Jewish people said, no, no, no. Tradition, the law tells us that we have to sacrifice. We have to sacrifice animals so that we can be right with God. Whereas Peter and John were coming in, giving a new gospel, saying, no, you don't need that anymore. Jesus died for you. And they did not like it. You see, the people did not like Peter and John and the disciples and the apostles. But Jesus had said to them, and you can read it for yourself, I don't have it up here. It's in John 15. Jesus had said to his disciples, if you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, and I chose you out of the world will hate you. And they knew this, and they still preached anyway. You see, we actually live in a society today where we really care what people think about us. We care about their opinions. We want the world to accept us the way we are, to love us the way we are. I mean, look at our social media profiles. We never put a bad picture on. We spend hours putting filters on just so that everybody will think we look amazing when we wake up in the morning, whereas the truth is we don't. And Michael will tell you that. Say no. You know, we base our whole value on how many likes or shares we have on our social media profiles, or how recognized we are in society, how high we are up in our careers, what cars we drive, what houses we live in, what holidays we go to. We base our whole value on that. And this brings us to my second point within the gospel. The disciples made a choice to follow Christ, no matter what the cost. Jesus had said this to them. He said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves. And if you look up the word deny, it actually means set aside selfish interests and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. Now, I'm going to go back to the original question that I asked you at the beginning, which was, surely when Jesus wrote that scripture, he wouldn't really understand that technology would have advanced so much today. Surely he didn't know that we could measure how old a planet was through mathematical equations. Surely he wouldn't have realized all the battles this world has faced through world wars, through slavery, through racism. Surely he didn't realize that. Surely he didn't know the ethical issues we would face in 2019 and the political issues we have. Surely he didn't realize this when he wrote that. And I asked myself that question quite recently when I started doing this sermon. I thought, you know, when Jesus wrote scriptures like that, did he know how difficult it would be to deny myself and take up my cross and follow him? Did he understand how hard it would be in 2019 to do that? And I was at a youth camp meeting maybe a month ago when I was challenging myself with these questions. And there was a lady speaking, her name's Esther Scholes, and she said this. She said, she was speaking to all the youth, and I was sitting there as well as one of the leaders, and she said, I want you to know that when the Bible was written, God knew which decade you would be born in. God knew that you would be born at that time and for that purpose. He knew that you would be sitting here tonight listening to his word, and he wrote it anyway. See, we have to get to a point where we believe that God is the same yesterday and today and forever, and that his word never changes. You see, culture changes all the time. You know, every 20 years, a new generation emerges that think differently, act differently, accept things differently. And you need to get to a point where you realize, or you for yourself, that this is true and this is relevant for today. So I've got to that point where I believe it. And if Jesus said 2,000 years ago to pick up my cross and follow him, I'm going to do it. So how do we do that in 2019? How do we pick up our cross and follow him? And it's a scripture I wanted to read. It's John 12, verse 24. It says, I tell you the truth. Unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. Those who love their life in this world will lose it. Those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. Anyone who wants to serve me must follow me, because my servants must be where I am. And the Father will honor anyone who serves me. Bearing your cross today means dying for the sake of life. What does that mean? Does it mean physically jumping off a bridge? No. It means dying to our own selfish fleshly desires, our own feelings, our own future dreams, our own ambitions, our own insecurities, our own abilities, our own identities, ourselves, ourselves, ourselves. It is getting to the point where we are willing to lay all of that at the cross in order to gain Christ. It also sometimes means not accepting the culture of today, but rising up against what is considered right today. We are called to love people, but we are called to hate sin as well. And the closer you get to God, the more you love people and the more you hate sin. That is what picking up your cross is. And what will following Christ cost you? What will it cost to live for Christ no matter what? It will cost you everything. It may cost you relationships with your families. It may cost you friends. It may cost you fame or reputation. It may cost you riches. It may cost you pleasures that you are unwilling to give up. It may even cost you your very life. And you're like, why? Why do it? Why follow Christ? And if that means I'm going to give up everything in my life, why follow him? Because in dying to self, you gain everything. And you're like, oh, that doesn't make sense. It means you have to give up everything to get everything. By choosing to follow Christ means that you get a relationship with God, a God who loves you, a God who's willing to die for you, a God who helps you walk through this life, a God who gives you joy and peace and hope to continue going. It is worth the cost. It is worth following Christ because you gain everything. If you don't follow Christ, you lose everything. You may think in this life that you have riches and fame and, oh, it's so great. But I'll tell you now, life is like a grain of sand on a seashore, and the rest of the sand is eternity. And what you do on that little piece of sand determines your life for eternity. Sorry. What a privilege as a Christian to know Christ. Does that mean now that I must go and cut myself off from the world and become a nun and make sure that I'm nothing like the world? I must go live in solitary confinement and just pray and read my Bible all day? No, that's not what following Christ means. Following Christ means living with a mindset of eternity. What that means is that everything we do in this life is for eternity, everything. You know, I'll give you an example. I'm training to be an accountant at the moment. Now, if I'm doing that purely so that I can get rich and have a massive house and go on holidays and show the world how rich and successful I am, I'm living for today, I'm not living for eternity. But if I'm becoming an accountant so that I can earn money, so that I can give more, so that I can witness more in that sort of area, then I'm living for eternity because my mindset is not about what I can gain here. My mindset is what I can do for the kingdom of God. And everything we do should be that. It doesn't mean we have to live these dreary lives of, oh man, I'm going to have to live for Christ today. I may as well just pick up my cross. Oh, life is so hard. No, it is full of joy because when you learn to follow Christ with everything, you gain everything. Because the worries of the world are no longer massive because you know who created you. You know who you're living for and you know what you're living for. You're not living for now. You're living for eternity. Tim Keller said this. He said, as many have learned and later taught, you don't realize Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. The world says sin is okay as long as it doesn't hurt anyone. Scripture says that those who practice sin will not inherit the kingdom of God. The world says that good people can't go to hell but Scripture says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Culture says we should treat each other as we are treated. Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. Pray for those who curse you. Bless your enemies. Love your enemies. The world says, follow what you feel inside. Scripture says, his sheep hear his voice and they follow him. The world says, seek after riches. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I don't know about you, but I'm getting to a crossroads in my life where I've decided that this book is real. And this book is what I'm going to base my whole life on. I would rather be radical for Jesus than complacent for this world. The last point I want to make is that if you choose to follow this, if you choose to pick up your cross daily and live by this mindset, there will be times that you don't understand it. There will be times where you will pick up your Bible and you'll say, God, I don't get that. And there's even been things this week where I'm like, Lord, that doesn't make sense. But I encourage you not to walk away. Because even Jesus preached a hard message. He would say things that people did not understand, like, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood, he who does not eat my flesh or drink my blood is not worthy of me. Now, in that day, they had no idea what he was talking about. And many people rejected the gospel and rejected him and walked away from it because they did not understand. But his disciples stayed, and as a result, they one day understood. So hold on, even if you don't believe. I mean, even if you don't understand. Charles Spurgeon said this. He was a preacher in the 1800s, and he said this. He said, if Christ is not all to you, he is nothing to you. He will never go into partnership as a part savior of men. If he be something, he must be everything. And if he is not everything, he is nothing to you. I'm going to read that again. Sorry. If Christ is not all to you, he is nothing to you. He will never go into partnership as a part savior of men. If he be something, he must be everything. And if he not be everything, he is nothing to you. I don't know about you, but do you want to follow Christ? You could say, well, I'll think about it tomorrow. I'll think about it next week. No, he's asking you tonight, will you follow me? Will you pick up your cross and follow me? And that is only a decision that you can make. I can't make it. I'm going to ask Emma and the band to come up. And I just wondered, while they're coming up, there was just one more thing I wanted to say. When I was doing the sermon, I was encouraged to, I don't know why, but God brought me to Revelation chapter 2 and 3. And I'm not going to read it tonight because obviously it's two whole chapters. But what the basis of the these particular chapters were is that John, the disciple, was exiled to an island. And Jesus came to him and spoke to him while he was there. And Jesus told him to write some letters to the churches around and to challenge them about what they were going through and what issues they were facing in their day and how to overcome them. And I really encourage you this week on your own, I'm not asking you to do it tonight, on your own, to go and read Revelation 2 and 3. Because are we going to be a church that is super seeker sensitive? Are we going to be a church and an individual who's so worried about what everybody thinks about us? Or are we going to be a true follower of Christ, where we only care about his opinion? We only care about if he approves of us or not. I'm going to pray and then hand over to you, Em. Father God, what a privilege to serve you. What a joy to serve you. I pray, Lord, that you would be our everything. That, Lord, we wouldn't just come to church on Sundays and that's it. I pray that you would consume our lives. Teach us how to pick up our cross and follow you. Teach us how to live for you more, Lord. Give us a passion in our hearts for you. And I pray, Father, as we walk out this place, we would walk out with a desire to know you more as our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.